in your Bible with me to the book of Ezra. Ezra. I'm sitting there looking. It makes me feel proud and old to see Kayla taking her daughter out to the restroom. That when I came here, Kayla was probably about the age of her daughter now. And to see her now, and along with others, Tabitha and a few others, I don't know how y'all got so old so quick. I just don't understand how that happened. And I stayed so young. Hush, Kevin. The book of Ezra, the 9th chapter. A month ago, I dealt with an unpleasant topic, and I was thinking at the time that I was done dealing with unpleasant topics. When dealt with the whole transgender issue and the churches, how the church should respond to that. It seems like lately, every week I could probably choose a topic to preach on from the national news. I think that this week it would have been much simpler. My original message for this morning was going to be out of the book of Acts on God calling Saul. God seems to have a little bit different plan, and I think that it's something that desperately needs to be responded to in the church, and that is, again, unless you've been Rip Van Winkle and been asleep all week, you have seen, once again, the tension and the division in our nation pretty much down racial lines. From the two men who were shot by the policeman to the policemen who were shot then the following day. We are in a time, I heard a lady, the congressman from the Dallas area this week make a statement, and I'm still kind of dumbfounded by, quite frankly, her lack of perception. I started to use a worse word. Her lack of understanding when she stood and said, this is not a direct quote, but something to the effect of, we need legislation that will cause the police and the people to cooperate. I like to fell off my couch laughing. You can't legislate people cooperating. I thought that was just hilarious. I'm sorry. I appreciate her idea, her enthusiasm, I guess, but the whole idea of legislating cooperation is, it's already illegal to murder. How's that working? And so the idea that we can legislate cooperation is somewhat misguided. How's that? I'm trying to be nice here, I've heard people this week who criticized the president because he hasn't said or done anything. The president can't make us get along. The president can't make us like each other. Can't make us not shoot at each other. He's having a hard enough time taking care of his business, let alone to try to get us to cooperate. Let's face it, inside of the Church of Jesus Christ, we're having enough trouble getting along, let alone on the streets. And so this morning, as we, I think all of us this week at some point have probably turned on the news and just shook our head and just wondered, where in the world are we headed? What in the world is going on? And we've heard, like you, I've heard every argument and every answer and every solution, again, from legislating that we, let's make a law that says we quit shooting each other. Good luck. I thought we had those already, but to the president making a statement, and the one thing that I haven't heard, or the one group that I really haven't heard much from, has been the Christian community and the church respond. And let's just go ahead and up front lay out my premise this morning. The problem is not a racial issue. It's not a police issue. It's not a black issue, a white issue, a red issue, yellow issue. It's not a good cop, bad cop. It is a sin issue. We are reaping what we have sown in our nation. We are dealing with as I've told you before, we are dealing with the first generation of young people who were raised by parents who did not go to church. 25 years ago, we were dealing with young people who were not in church, but at least their parents had been in church and had some understanding and some morality, and kind of passed some of that onto their children. And you don't have to go back too many years where whether or not you were in church or not, pretty much everybody had the same values, the same. Whether you were in church, certain things were wrong and certain things were right, and honestly, there wasn't that big a line between the churched and the unchurched for the most part. But we're living in a day now where the young people, and when I say young, I'm not talking about teenagers. I'm talking about 20, 25, the folks today who are beginning to be decision makers are young people who were not only not raised in church, they were raised by parents who didn't go to church. And so now we are one generation even more removed from biblical values. And that is the core issue. It's not a matter of whether or not guns are too easily accessed. Guns are not the problem. If I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand of how many guns are in this church this morning. And none of them have shot anybody. Guns are not the issue. Again, we have several races and nationalities, and that's not the issue. The issue, plain and simple, is sin. And the Church of Jesus Christ is at a great time. I mean, we look around and it's a horrible time, but it's a wonderful opportunity for the Church of Jesus Christ to step up and say, we have the answer. We know what the problem is, and we have a solution. I was in a meeting several weeks ago now with a representative from the state convention. We have a department of the state convention known as People's Next Door, and their whole mission is to identify the different groups of people who are coming to America and setting up shop right here among us. And through that group, we learn things like in Midland there's a growing group of French. That one just kind of okay. There's a lot of Laotians. There's a lot of groups moving here. I was in a group of probably 25 or 30. Pastors, and you could have heard a pin drop when Steve made the statement, and I know Steve's heart. I've known Steve for many years, and Steve probably spends as much time in other countries as he does in America sharing the gospel. In fact, he's talking about retiring, and in retirement moving overseas and working on the mission field in his retirement. And so I know his heart. He made the comment in this group of pastors about all the, you've heard, like I have, all the uproar about the Syrian and other refugees coming to America. And he said, we can argue and fuss and fight about that, or we can look and say, there's a group of people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're coming to our back door. And so we have opportunity as a church in this time to be what we're called to be, ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we look in this passage in Ezra, you might be aware that to address this topic, there's nowhere from Genesis to Revelation where I can turn and say, here's an example of where policemen shot somebody, or here's a passage where some guy with a rifle shot a bunch of policemen. That's just not there. There's none of those passages. So as we address it, I want to go back and look at an Old Testament passage here in Ezra. Ezra is kind of, you remember Paul Harvey? He used to do that thing called Now You Know the Rest of the Story. Ezra is kind of Now You Know the Rest of the Story to 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles kind of describe for us the decay, the deterioration of morality in Israel and Judah, and how they had slowly but surely turned away and went away from God, and how God had allowed them to go into captivity, how God had allowed the Assyrians to oppress them, and how they had fallen victim to their own decisions and their own choices. And then Ezra kind of describes for us, y'all see this right here. Y'all see I wore a tie to church this morning, right? It's killing me. I leave it right here so y'all can't say the preacher didn't have a tie today. How's that? It is choking me to death. But Ezra is kind of the rest of the story. Ezra tells us that kind of how things wind up and how the Jews ultimately respond. And I think there's a good parallel to where we are in America today. We are reaping what we have sown. We have sown discord. We have sown sin. We have allowed immorality of all shapes and sizes not only to be accepted but to become legal. We have divided up on every line imaginable, whether it's racial lines or whether it's political lines or whether it's denominations. We can't even get Christians of a different denominational banner to come together and work for the common cause of Jesus Christ. We can't get along in our own churches, and then we wonder why reds and whites and blacks can't get along in the streets of America when Christians can't get along. Is that, nobody else see the problem there? And we have an opportunity as believers, if we will step forward and use this as an opportunity. But it begins very simply. It's got to start with ourselves. And we've got to realize sin. We've got to recognize sin. Ezra comes forward and he says something. And I want you to notice what he says in this verse in chapter 9. He says, I arose up from my heaviness, and he says, I rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees, and I spread out my hands to my God. Do you notice a small theme going on in Ezra's life? Do you notice something happening in Ezra's confession here? Ezra says, this is not a problem with the police department. This is not a problem with the white community or the black community. Or this is not a problem with the government. This is not a problem of this group or that group. Ezra says, this is my problem. Ezra doesn't say the king of Israel has led us down the wrong road, the military didn't do right. He doesn't say I got up and confessed pansy sin. He says I got up and I confessed my sin. And the first thing we've got to do, if we're going to see a change, if we're going to see reconciliation, if we're going to see unity in our nation among races, among denominations, among nationalities, is we've got to be brutally honest and say, you know what? This isn't about that person being a racist. That isn't about this person being a prejudice. We're going to have to come to the point where we lay ourselves bare before God and say, is there anything in me? Is there any issue in my life? Very simply, a very simple question to ask ourselves is, are we contributing to the problem or are we helping the problem? Or are we trying to alleviate the problem? What have we done as believers to bring people together, to bring people together in unity? The Bible says, again, the psalmist says these words, how good, how beautiful it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. We need to understand that Jesus Christ didn't come and die for a skin color. He didn't come and die for a nationality. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. The coolest things I have seen that popped up this week was a little picture that popped up on Facebook of four different policemen. One of them was a very dark-skinned man. One of them was kind of a medium-skinned man. And one of them was a white man. And behind them was a guy holding a sign that said, "Chocolate Lives Matter." You know, this guy over here had a sign that said, "Dark chocolate." This one in the middle had a sign that said "milk chocolate." This one over here had a sign that said "white chocolate." Listen, we're all humans. We all breathe oxygen. We all bleed the same way. Listen, we've got to understand something very, very simple this morning. All of us have probably looked and in our mind formed opinions about everything that's taken place this week. We have looked at this and said, you've either looked and said, I'm looking at this and I see people walking, chanting, "We want justice." And what most of those people mean by "we want justice" is we want the policeman charged and found guilty. Justice is finding what's right. Many people are looking and assigning blame or whatever to the man who shot the policeman. Here's reality. This morning while we're gathered here, there are at least 7 families grieving and hurting because their son, their husband, didn't come home. Even more seriously, where the Church of Jesus Christ needs to get our head out of the dirt, where we need to wake up, this week, 7 people opened their eyes standing before their Creator. And simply based on the percentages of America, the lost in America, in all likelihood, 6 of those people, I don't know them, maybe all 7, maybe, I don't know. But in all likelihood, 6 of those 7 men stood before God lost without Jesus Christ. That should break our hearts, folks. It's not about race. It's not about police, good police, bad police. It's about the fact that Jesus Christ died for lost people. That should be our energy. That should be our focus. There are 7 people this morning who entered eternity, ready or not. There are young children this morning who are going to make a decision about whether God is a loving God because of the events that took place in their family this week. There are wives, there are mothers, there are fathers who are deciding and making decisions about God based on what happened in the streets of Dallas, Texas. We've got to ask ourselves, what really matters? Sin is personal. Ezra says this is, I'm just as much responsible. Listen, as believers, and this is something, listen, some of you are younger than me, some of you are older. I'm a 50-year-old southern redneck. I know that. I know I say y'all and all, I know all that. And many of you are too, and I know how many of us were raised. I know the environment we were raised up in. But listen, that doesn't make it right. In our hearts, every one of us knows that racism and prejudice and measuring somebody based on their skin color is wrong. It's wrong. We don't want to be judged that way. We don't want to be measured that way. Can I give you an example? You're sitting here as Baptist this morning. How many of you are familiar with Westboro Baptist Church? You know who I'm talking about? Bunch of crackpots out in Kansas. Yeah, I call them crackpots, you know who they are. I call them by their name, you don't know who they are. This is that bunch. Fred Phelps was their leader. He's passed away now. Now, I'm slowly but surely getting you around. This is that bunch of nutheads that every time one of our soldiers gets killed overseas, they want to picket his funeral and hold up signs that say, "Thank God for dead soldiers." That's who these nutheads are. That's who I'm talking about. Now, do you want to be measured as a Baptist and a Christian because of them nutcases? Listen, dear friend of mine, Tony Hall. I'll tell you who he is. I'm probably going to ask Tony to come speak one Sunday. Tony is a dear friend of mine. Love him like a brother. African-American pastor in Kannapolis. And he and I have had several of these conversations about how we respond to race and how this whole thing comes across. And he took a lot of heat this week because he came out and said, I support the police. And a lot of people, some even in his own church, gave him all kinds of static and grief for that. And said, but they're bad police. And he said, yeah, but most of them are good. And he says, yeah, but the problem is that his attacker said, yeah, but the good policemen won't turn into bad policemen. That's the problem. And he said, it's no different than you. He said, you got thugs and everything else living in your neighborhood. You hadn't turned them in. He said, we want to divide up. We are the most divided. You see it in politics. We see it in the church. We see it in race. We see it in nationality. We've all gathered up and gotten our little holy huddles, and everybody else is wrong. And if one person in that group makes a bad decision, we throw the whole bunch out. We don't want to be treated that way. We need to ask ourselves, are we part of the solution or part of the problem? Sin's personal. This isn't just about Dallas. We need to ask ourselves, am I saying things? Am I doing things? Am I putting things out on the internet? Am I displaying in front of my... Am I doing things? Am I saying things that's making the situation better? And if you're not making it better, you're making it worse. Sin is personal. We've got to quit looking at this as a Dallas problem or a police problem. We've got to ask ourselves. Isaiah says, I'm lifting up my hands. Lord, show me. Sin's personal. Then we've got to see sin's potential. I don't love it, but it's a good illustration. Look what Ezra says. He says, our iniquities have increased over our head. How many of you know that in America, in the last few years, our iniquity has increased over our head? It has grown exponentially. I hear people every now and then say something about, Jerry Springer, Maury Povich, and all these TV shows, and they say, I can't believe people do those things. You know, they get on. I say, I can believe they do it. I'm just a little shocked they get on TV and tell it. You know, but honestly, I'm not even shocked at that anymore. We come to the place where nothing surprises us. We've come to the point where nothing shocks us. Sin's potential. Look what he says. He says it's increased over our heads. It's grown up into the heavens. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I told anybody this, but I thought this. The day after the shootings, when I heard, I heard about the shootings, I said, somebody else will be shot tonight. In these rallies, in these protests, someone will be shot tonight. Thank God there wasn't that I know of in any of the rallies or the protests. For the most part, most of them were peaceful. But sin has potential. Listen, there are a whole, let's just be honest. Many, many white people today are judging the entire black community on the actions of a few. Just like many in the black community are judging all the actions of the police department because of the actions of a few. I don't know whether what happened with those two shootings, I don't know. Let justice run its course. That's what we have courts for. I don't know. But I know that people are making decisions about whole groups of people over one incident. We got 10,000 people on the streets of Atlanta last night. Do you know what it would take for me to get 10,000 Christians to do something? Do you know what it would take for me to get 10 Christians to do something? I had to get that woman I was talking about to pass an act to Congress is what it would take. But let something like this happen and 10,000 people will gather in the streets in one city. And you know the potential. I don't know if you saw any of the views of that, but you had rows of policemen standing in riot gear and the protesters standing at them in their face with megaphones. Folks, you know that is a tinderbox just waiting for somebody to flinch the wrong way, and somebody on one side, the other side, or both sides is going to end up shot dead, and we're going to have even more people standing before their Creator. Sin's potential. Folks, we got to realize this can get really ugly really quick. It has. Sin's potential, and then realize sin's punishment. Look what Ezra calls this. He says it's a great trespass, our iniquities. Folks, God, and I'm just basing this on what I read in the Word of God. God is not going to sit on His throne and watch people kill each other over the color of their skin and turn His back to that. He's not going to watch His people who He sent His Son to die for. See, every year in January, the Baptists have this thing called the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. You know what that's about? You should. Every year, the big emphasis is anti-abortion. That's the big emphasis. But part of it is also the protection, the sanctity of old people. It's both extremes. That's the sanctity of human life. It really emphasizes anti-abortion, protection of the unborn, and the protection of the old. Folks, we're going to have to revisit that and say we've got to start emphasizing the sanctity of all human life. Red and yellow, black and white, old, young, unborn, born, bald, hairy, blonde, red, all of them. God, I just don't believe that a God who loved us so much that He would send His Son to die for us is going to sit by and watch us kill each other and turn His back to that. We get, I know I'm about to really tick some people off. We get really bent out of shape over this whole transgender issue. You tell me what you think is worse. Some guy putting on a dress or somebody shooting somebody? I got news for you. I'd rather you show up, Tommy, I ain't got much to choose from here. Tommy, I'd rather you show up next Sunday in a tutu than have you come in shooting at me. I ain't crazy about either idea, to be honest with you. Oh, yeah. Just remember what I said about guns in church. You know, we got to understand. Listen, we can't just pick the thing we want to call out and say this is a sin and this is horrible. Here's where it really hits the road, I hope, for believers, is we got to regret our sins. God, I'm ashamed and blush to lift up my face to You. Can you imagine, try if you can for just a moment to picture and think about the great satisfaction that Satan has had this week. Satan is literally rolling on the floors of hell laughing at our stupidity. Thousands in the street protesting and rallying. All the energy. Can you for a moment imagine what could happen, what would have happened if somehow we could harness all the energy of the last 72, 96 hours, and instead of it being all about race and shooting, if somehow we could harness just part of that energy and move it over here to sharing the gospel. Somebody has said, and several people in fact have said and pointed out how at the first of the week, all we heard and all we could talk about was email and servers and the FBI and all that kind of stuff. By the end of the week, that's totally off the radar, and all we can talk about are police and shootings and race riots. You know, no matter what, all week long, the gospel of Jesus Christ is pretty well taking a back seat to stupidity. And Satan is having a field day. The church is divided. Homes are divided. Families are divided. Politicians are divided. And Satan is laughing. Listen, you don't have to read much of the Bible to understand what's going on here. Who is the author of confusion? Who loves unity? God. So who's at work this week? Folks, we got to understand the enemy. We got to know our enemy. This isn't the black man that lives down the street or the white policeman or the Muslim guy over on the corner. It isn't. It's Satan. It's sin. And Satan is having a heyday. If you can't imagine that for a minute, let's go to the other side of that. If it's given Satan such joy, can you imagine the sorrow that it brings to get to God Himself? To sit and to look at an earth that He created. And it doesn't matter, as the old song, red and yellow, black and white, if you are alive and breathing, you are alive and breathing, they are alive and breathing, because God Himself said, let there be life, and brought them and formed them and shaped them. He says, I knew you in your mother's womb. Not I knew you if you were white, or I knew you if you were red. He said, I knew you. He says, I sent my son to die for you. Not if you were red or white or yellow or black. Everything about God is about unity. Can you imagine how much it breaks the heart of God to see what has happened in America this week? In a nation that has been blessed like no other. In a nation that has everything we can imagine. We've just celebrated our liberty and our freedom. And we're not even free to walk down the streets without fear of being shot. Tell me that doesn't break the heart of God. Don't tell me that doesn't grieve God. Don't tell me it doesn't grieve God that the Church of Jesus Christ is by and large sitting by and saying and doing nothing. Listen, what does Ezra do? New attitudes. Shechaniah comes to Ezra and says, we have trespassed. We've got to have a new attitude. We've got to understand again, this isn't about the white policeman or the black guy or the Muslim or the Hindu or the Buddhist. This is about sin. This is about Satan. And we've got to take seriously our responsibility as believers to step forward and be an example of love. To be an example of unity. Folks, I can tell you from the last year, year and a half now, in working with our churches, we can't even get 15 to 20. We've got 82 Southern Baptist churches in the Cabarrus Association. We're lucky if we can get 15 to show up on any given calls. We have churches. Several years ago, y'all remember back in, I guess it was 2001 when we organized and had the Billy Graham Crusade, and it wasn't Billy Graham here, but one of his associates was supposed to be speaking at was at the Intimidator Stadium in Kannapolis. We had one church, one pastor, who I asked him about being involved. Oh, I'm not coming. Did you see who they're having sing? Really? Really? They're going to be singing that contemporary music, and we're not coming. Really? Really? That's the biggest issue we got to fight. That's our biggest battle. Try to organize Baptist pastors and have to listen to them. Well, now, before we sign up to participate, what version of the Bible are they going to be using? Really? You know what? If you can lead one of my children to the Lord, somebody in my family to the Lord using the Charlotte Observer, God bless you. Go in Godspeed. Even in the church, we're bickering and arguing over... Listen, do you know how much time has been spent in the church arguing over whether women ought to wear makeup? Over whether women ought to wear pants? Over ties? Over songbooks? Over thermostats? We wonder why we can't get along over race. Man, we've spent half our time fighting over Sunday school books. What color carpet to buy? We spend most of our time arguing over stuff that makes no eternal difference while our children and our grandchildren steadily spiral further and further away from God. And then we wonder why. In the last year and a half, in answering some of the phone calls at the association, I wish I would have recorded them and been able to somehow... I should have been writing them down and leaving, you know, that names have been changed to protect the innocent thing. And told you, just shared with you some of the foolishness that our churches are arguing over. We wonder why our children, our races can't get along. When as Christians, we can't get along in the church. You know, I remember a story my mother, I've heard her tell several times. My mother's old. She went to school in the days of segregation, and I don't know how many of you know where they are, but in Kannapolis at one time, there were, this is how foolish we are, part of one of the schools is still standing. Here was a black school, and here was a white school. But the kids weren't allowed to go to school together. But they would stand out on the playground and throw the ball back and forth across the fence. Because they could get along. It was the leaders that couldn't. Folks, until the church learns to get along with each other and to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, how can we expect the people on the streets to get along? How can we expect people that are lost to get along when we're not even getting along, when we argue over silly stuff? I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. And I hope it was a little more pleasant to hear than it was to say. I'm going to be honest, it wasn't easy, and I've had to really put a lot of thought into this week. Are my actions, are my words, are my attitudes bringing unity, or are they bringing division? Before we get all bent out of shape about whether whites and blacks and Muslims and Hispanics can get along in the streets, we need to ask ourselves, is there somebody in my own church, somebody in my own family that I'm having a problem with? Folks, it's sin. It's sin. It's sin. It's sin. Most of us as small children, one of the first Bible verses we learned in Bible school and preschool was love one another. As sinners saved by grace, we have right to hate only one thing, and that is sin. I want to invite you this morning to come and to kneel at this altar and pray for our nation, to pray for healing, to pray for revival, but most of all, to pray for repentance. Lord, show me anything in my life, any words, any actions, any attitudes, that instead of bringing harmony, is bringing division. It's not white. It's not black. It's sin. Jesus Christ came to die for all. You're here today and you don't know Christ. Doesn't matter what color you are, how old you are, Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you, and He wants to save you and change you. You need to come this morning. Let me show you from God's Word how you can know Him as your Savior. Christians need to be on this altar praying for our nation. Our grandchildren, our children are inheriting a divided nation. We need to pray for our leaders. It's easy to pick on and ridicule the president and senators and congressmen, but most of us don't want their job. We need to pray for them. We need to confess our own sin, our own failures. God, help me to bring unity as we stand together.